Saturday with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Hello again. We're turning now to child protection. And in the past week, there has understandably been widespread shock expressed at the tragic story of Kyran Dernan, the child who has not been accounted for anywhere and by anyone in the 2 years he has been missing and is now presumed dead. The case has raised questions again about the state's child protection system, the gaps that exist, and the responsibilities that lie with all the state agencies tasked with managing the welfare of children, especially those who may be vulnerable. Our knowledge of how our child protection system works and where it falls down has, for the last decades or so, been largely informed by the work of the Child Law Project. Now, that project was established in 2012 to oversee cases that came before the courts involving a child in state care, and it was through its work that the public, governments, state agencies, members of the judiciary were made aware of where the system had often failed children, and often with very serious and very tragic consequences. That Child Law Project ran out of funding approximately 6 months ago, and its contract with the state will officially lapse next week, and no new contract with it or any other agency to continue the vital work of monitoring child law cases has been put out to tender by the Department of Children. I've been speaking to Gareth Noble. He's a solicitor specialising in child law, and I began by asking him about the importance of the work of the Child Law Project.
What they have been able to shine a light on is the lived reality of what it is like to be a child in care, what it is like to be a social worker at the front line, what it's like to be a therapist or a foster carer in caring for that child. And they have been really good at highlighting the success stories, the many examples of good practice, but also the very serious challenges and gaps that exist. And we've been able to see trends over that period of time. And we have been able to respond, I guess, to that systemic look at things and to act accordingly.
And an important part of their role would have been their ability to go into in-camera or closed court sessions. Is that why they were able to shine such a light on areas that maybe hadn't been seen before?
Exactly. One of the intentions of the Oireachtas clearly on setting this up was that it would be an anonymised capturing of, as you say, in-camera proceedings and balancing the necessary security that those in-camera proceedings have and preserving the privacy of those involved, but also balancing that with the public's right to understand and to know the very real challenges of children in the child protection system. And I guess to kind of shine a light on what we together as a society can do in respect of that collective responsibility in the area of child protection.
Now, it only cost €200,000 a year, and there were some substantial and significant reports produced by them. What would you say the greatest benefit of those reports was?
Well, you're correct to say that they used that budget, that very, very small budget, to stretch themselves in being able to follow cases, often not being able to do it, in fact, from start to finish. And certainly for those of us who were and had the benefit of those reports, in fact, really what we were all advocating for was that there would be further resources put into this particular project rather than simply allowing it to run its course. Because the sad reality of the case is that the Child Law Reporting Project's funding has now dried up. They have not been able to send their child reporters into courts now for a significant number of months. And there is no light at the end of the tunnel from the Department of Children as to when any further tendering process will be put in train. So the longer that this goes on without that clarity being provided, the real loss that it is to children in the care system and for those of us who work in this area. It's a massive loss at a very, very challenging time within the child protection system at the moment. And also, it was more importantly, it was of greater significance than just those children currently in the care system formally. It also helped us to look at how do we prevent children from entering the care system? How do we invest in schools, in after-school clubs, in therapeutic supports and interventions, in mental health services, in a range of different areas that actually prevented Tuusula having to intervene to the extent that it does in family life?
The Department of Children says there's a gap, they are retendering. Do you accept that?
I don't accept that this wasn't foreseen. We all knew that this project was time limited in terms of the tender that was there. There was more than ample opportunity for forward planning. Forward planning isn't something that one would associate with the Department of Children, it has to be said. And it isn't actually just alien to them. When we are looking at child protection, when we're looking at meeting the educational rights of children, we always seem to be playing catch up. And this is yet another example of catch up.
Last week, we had a debate in the Oireachtas on the issue of child protection, sparked by a different matter, but there were other serious issues brought to light over the course of that. We also now have the tragic situation of a child who is missing for 2 years, who is now believed to have been murdered. That's the case of Kyran Dernan, which people would have heard about. The Special Rapporteur on Child Protection says this raises serious systemic concerns which need to be answered. She's called for a broader inquiry and that a TUSLA internal review isn't sufficient. What's your own view?
My own view is that whatever we need to do to get to the truth of what happened to that young boy and other children, by the way, who go missing in the childcare system, we need to leave no stone unturned in providing those answers to the public, because one of the objectives, of course, of the Child Law Reporting Project was to help promote confidence in the child protection system. That confidence is in fairly short supply at the moment, and it's not just in relation to those very, very tragic cases that you've just referenced, but also just on a wider front. We have an absolute crisis wherever you look within the child protection system, in retaining good social workers, in providing special care beds, in ensuring that foster carers are properly supported, in having timely services and interventions for children who are in crisis, our mental health services on its knees, very poor coordination between the HSE, the Department of Education and TUSLA in terms of meeting the needs of children in care. Now, I know that there is a review of the Child Care Act of 1991 ongoing at the moment. That is perhaps more needed than ever, but it also needs to be matched by a real collective energy and thirst to ensure that the needs of vulnerable children are being met, because we can say it, we can hope for it, but we actually have to action it. And the Child Law Reporting Project in many ways provided us with that guidance.
Is the environment for child protection made more challenging by the number of children now living in emergency accommodation for maybe shorter periods of time? So if they're only in the likes of hotel accommodation or emergency placements, does this make it more challenging?
I would say if I go to any court, and I do lots of courts around the country at the moment, when you go into a court list, a huge number of those cases are around placement breakdown or placement disruption. We are seeing 4-year-olds in residential care that shouldn't be there. We are seeing 9-year-olds in special emergency arrangements. That is storing up huge problems for the future. It is bewildering and just so upsetting for those of us who are in this system to be able to have to navigate our way through. And you're right, that we are going simply from crisis to crisis. It is firefighting. And at the centre of this are children whose very lives are being so severely impacted. One of the things, and I say this to judges all of the time, and for anybody who has being in court with me, they will know that this is a very frequent refrain of mine. We bring children into care in order to make their lives better. And one has to ask the question, are their lives being made better by having them move from pillar to post, from having them perhaps having 8 to 10 staff members coming in on a rota basis to look after them, in terms of having to move school, being uprooted from their local communities, from everybody that they know? I mean, the list is endless, and yet we just simply collectively don't seem to be able to get a handle on what is just an unbelievably difficult situation out there at the moment.
And is your concern about the breakdown of care placements, is that echoed also in, you know, in families who are in just emergency accommodation? Does that make child protection more difficult, and indeed the monitoring of children more difficult?
It has to, because obviously when there is a lot of movement between different care places, or when families are on the move a lot, obviously being able to track that is difficult. Being able to follow up with that is made more challenging. When we have duty teams and non-allocation of social workers that are able to follow that child, whether it's going from one county to another or even one part of Dublin to another, all of that is made significantly more challenging if we don't have that coordinated piece there.
And that was Gareth Noble, a solicitor specialising in child law, speaking to me before we came on air. Now, still with us are Niall Collins, Minister of State at the Department of Further Education, and Fianna Fáil TD for Limerick County in the Limerick studio, Rose Conway-Wall, Sinn Féin TD for Mayo, and party spokesperson on public expenditure here in studio, and also here in studio, Padraig Tobin, ANTHU leader and TD for Meath West. Niall Collins, we'll get to the issues around the child law reporting project shortly, but I just want to go to some of the latter points there that were made by Gareth Noble. There's an unknown number of children in very vulnerable situations as we speak today. We've seen homelessness figures that were published yesterday, and if people haven't seen them, they said 14,760 people were registered in emergency accommodation in September. That's an increase of 15% on the same figure of last year. And for the purposes of this conversation, because it's not about housing, it's about the child protection situation, 4,561 children were registered as homeless. On top of that, we have migrant teenagers who are unaccounted for. How wouldn't there be problems and gaps with kids getting lost in the system when you see that 4,500 children are now living in emergency accommodation, in a transient life, moving around between schools with no permanence in their lives?
Yeah, it is a very big figure, and it is something which we're working every single day of the week to address through our Housing for All plan and programme in terms of house building. You know the data in relation to that. We've significantly increased the output of housing units year on year since the inception of government. And that's also directly related to people who are seeking homeless accommodation. So it is a huge challenge. Thankfully, I think we've seen the numbers over the last number of months growing significantly, for example.
OK, but I appreciate that you're looking at the issue of homelessness there, but I suppose this is slightly different in that the situation of children while they're waiting for that accommodation to be built means that they are in a transient situation. By the time homelessness has been tackled, they'll be out of childhood. So I'm asking specifically about, you know, the situation of children and how to monitor them. I mean, is it any surprise that children are very vulnerable when they are in these situations?
Well, that's the job of TUSLA. It's the job of the agencies who are charged. It's the job of An Garda Síochána. We have our Children's First policy, which not alone mandates statutory agencies to report issues or concerns that they have, but it also places an obligation on everybody within our community and across society to be vigilant to ensure that the welfare and the betterment of our children is at the core of everything we do. Look, I mean, it's so multifaceted.
You said that all those agencies work on it, but is a child moving around schools monitored? Because Kitty Holland in today's Irish Times spoke to a school principal who said she's still trying to follow up whether a child that left the school about whom she had concerns was ever registered with a roll number in a new school, which is supposed to take place.
Well, look, I mean, that's a specific example and case that I'm just not able to comment on. But in terms of homelessness, like it's as we know, very, very complex. If you look at, for example, in the Dublin region, the top three reasons for single households entering emergency accommodation recently were people leaving direct provision, relationship breakdown and notice of termination. Similarly, in relation to family households entering emergency accommodation.
All right, OK. But the question, you know, I suppose itself is in safeguarding people in those situations. Padraig Tobin.
Yeah, I think this is a really dark situation, something I've been raising with the Minister for about the last 5 years. You know, 227 children have died either in state care or known to state care just in the last 10 years. 11 of those were murders, 3 were manslaughters. About 40 children died of suicide in that situation. There is a deep crisis happening currently with the most vulnerable children in our country, and the response of the government is absolutely shocking to it. 100,000 children last year, according to a PQ that I received, were referred to TUSLA. So TUSLA are under phenomenal pressure.
And they were given an extra 145 million in the budget, bringing the budget overall to, I think, is it over a billion?
I'm talking to people who are involved in the provision of residential care for children, and they're saying that the resources are not near enough. And actually, the resources are so poor. At the moment, we have a government putting children into special emergency accommodation. And for people who don't know about that, many of those are not properly regulated, and there has been court cases in relation to the vetting of some of those staff members who are going into those locations. And as Gareth mentioned there, children as young as 9 are being put into these places. Dozens of children are going missing from these locations on a monthly basis. UCD has done a study which showed that some of the children who are going missing are actually being targeted for sexual exploitation. If this was happening 34 years ago, 30 or 40 years ago, all the political parties in Leinster House would be crying out for a public inquiry into how this was allowed to happen. And yet it's happening in real time at the moment, with actually very little comment on it. And one of the only reasons that it's percolated to the consciousness of people at the moment is the shocking and heartbreaking situation.
Okay. Well, we are discussing it now, and I do want to get Rose Conway Walsh's contribution on this.
Yeah, the first job of any government is to protect its citizens. And if we can't, we obviously, as a government, they're not protecting children in this case. I want to get just to the Child Law Project and what's happening here.
We will get to that shortly, but I suppose I just want to, you know, do you accept on this one, and I'll follow up with you on a question that when we get to that. It is difficult to retain social workers. It's difficult to recruit and train and adequately resource them. Do you accept that 145 million to TUSLA as an agency will help in this regard?
I do not, because what this government does, it'll throw money at something, but it never seeks accountability. It never measures the outcomes to what's happening. We know that there are so many children that should have a designated social worker that don't have a designated social worker. That is the first point of call. When there's concerns about a child or children within a family. And if you don't have that, then you have nothing to base anything else on. So it's absolutely crazy. And it's crazy for the government to be abdicating responsibility for this. You see Simon Harris say, children are so important. They're so important in my department. I'm making this. The spin and the spin that goes on around this, and when you take off the layers and you see what's happening with children, you see children with autistic children, you see children with severe disabilities in a homeless situation where they're moved from hotel room to hotel room to completely unsuitable accommodation. And the trauma and the psychological damage that's been done to children by them not having something as basic as a home is just disgraceful. We see the numbers increase all the time, and the government say, we're turning a corner. Well, you're not turning a corner in relation to children and ensuring that every child.
I just want to get back to Niall Collins on this, because I do want to get onto that issue of the Child Law Project in particular. There's a time-limited tender on the Child Law Project, Niall Collins. It was allowed to lapse without the planning being put in place to have an immediate successor project picking up on that. When the scale of the problem is such as it is in the area of child protection, why was this lapse allowed?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that the work of the Child Law Project is immense. It's provided for in the Child Care Act, and I think it's really important to the likes of ourselves as legislators and to all groups, civil society groups, in terms of our public policy debate and our development of public policy. It is a fact that their work doesn't cover every single sitting across the 24 district court sittings. In fact, they will tell you themselves, if you look at their mission statement or when you read into how they go about their work.
Well, they only have a budget of €200,000 a year, so it would be very difficult for them to cover all of the sittings. But I mean, failure to plan to have a successor project up and running look like it's not a priority?
The point I'm making is they report on in-camera child law cases on a representative basis. They don't report on every case. And there will be a gap, unfortunately.
The gap is there, Niall, because of your government not funding that.
All right, Connor, you can have your say in a few minutes. The point is this, and the Minister has confirmed this, there is money in next year's estimates to provide for a successor contract
But the President of the District Court, Mr. Justice Paul Kelly, if you just get in there, Mr. Justice Paul Kelly said that he was deeply concerned about this being allowed to lapse. So the judiciary are raising concern about it. You've heard a lawyer working in the area of child law raising concerns about this. Clearly the people working in the area haven't been happy, and it's not just that it will lapse. They have been unable to carry out court visits since about March because of the level of funding under which they're currently operating. So how is this allowed to happen?
And they produce two reports per annum which they have reproduced, which have been exceptionally useful. The Minister has confirmed that he is developing a new tender, and that tender will be available quite shortly.
That's not answering the question at all.
It is answering the question, Patrick. It's just not giving the answer that you want. That is the facts.
Because the facts are
the minister is now in a position where he has confirmed the money is in the estimates for next year to fund a similar project. It will be tendered, and the tender has been...
Just wait a second, because I want to let Rose Conway-Walsh back in on this. I think that's
indicative of how much of a priority children are and the safety of children are here. What this minds me of is when the government didn't like what Combat Poverty Agency were saying, when they were presenting facts around child poverty, it's over 10 years ago now, they closed it down. This is trying to cover up the information. This has to be an absolute nonsense. I'm sorry.
How can you say it's a priority? You've made an accusation there.
Let Niall Collins back in, and I'll come back to
how is it a cover-up? This is just complete nonsense. I mean, Rose, you should really just check yourself there and listen to what you're saying.
There's nobody trying to cover up anything here.
There's nobody. Who's trying to cover up facts?
Sorry.
Who's trying to cover up facts, Rose?
You're trying to hide the facts here around. If child protection was a priority, the Child Law Project wouldn't be saying that they cannot function properly on 200,000. You give 9 million to mobile phone pouches. You give 200,000
mobile phone pouches. We're talking about the welfare of children.
You give 200,000.
Okay, we're not going to go. We're not going to get into mobile phone pouches.
Can I just briefly come in? Hang on a second.
One voice at a time.
Hang on a second.
I'll let you in a second.
Okay.
Let's just deal with the specific issue first, that allowing this project to lapse, would you accept that people may be forgiven for thinking that some of the deficiencies that this project highlighted maybe meant that its findings were unwelcome, or at least that perception is there by allowing it to lapse?
No, I don't accept that. There is a contract there with the service provider in terms of court reporting. That contract has come to an end. There will be a new tender and a new contract to report. They did not report on every single sitting.
You've made that point. I want to let Patrick Tobin in on this.
Nobody's trying to hide anything here.
Can I just briefly give you the background of this? Because we've had a situation where most of the providers of residential care have been trying to bring all of these problems to the attention of the minister. The minister has ignored. We've had a retired Judge Sims who actually gave three reports to the minister, which actually outlined the disconnected nature of all of these.
You can't say that the minister may have read them. There may be something in train at the moment.
In terms of these reports, I have a parliamentary question. It's a separate issue, but go ahead. Roger Gorman has replied to me to say that he has actually shredded those three reports for GDPR reasons. Okay, now those three reports detailed the lack of connection between most of the state services and how they were letting down children. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that one of the reasons why this crisis is happening is because the system is opaque. It's not transparent. So one of the only organisations that was actually making it transparent was the Child Law Project. And it is either utter incompetence on the basis of the minister, or it is seeking to hide what's happening, not to have a seamless tender to allow for this project or any other project to pick up the pieces as soon as one tender finished. The idea that there will be a gap in this at all is absolutely detrimental to the welfare of children in this country.
Before we go any further, we have a statement in from the department that says it's not the case to say that funding for the court reporting has been stopped. They say it's extremely important. They say the current iteration of the project, the tender is due to end in this month. And as part of Budget 2025, Minister O'Gorman set aside specific funding for it. Tendering will begin in November with a view to a new project commencing in January 2025. Just a second, I want to go back to Rose Conway-Walsh and then I'll come to Niall Collins.
That speaks to how much of a priority it is. But it wasn't just, I mean, what the reports coming out were for, that there wasn't designated social workers, the functioning of the courts weren't right, and there was too long of a waiting list. The children with complex needs are being sent out of this state. state. They're being sent to another state. They're being sent to Britain because we don't have the facilities and the supports and the resources here to be able to meet their needs. And also in terms of CAMHS and the shortages there and the waiting lists for there. So that's why the Child Law Project was so, so important in highlighting all these things. But if you don't accept what's coming, if the government don't accept what's coming from them, then how can we tackle the problem in the first place? And this is the case with so many
things. I just want to go, just on the basic issue of succession planning, Niall Collins, there was correspondence released to the Irish Times under Freedom of Information that showed the back and forth between the Child Law Project and the department about this. There was correspondence, as I said already, from a judge on this. This has been flagged well in advance that there were gaps here and that the project, the clarity was wanted about the future of the project. How was it that there wasn't an immediate successor there and ready to take action and report on cases around the country, some of which could have important information for practitioners in the area?
Look, the political charge here is that there's some kind of a cover-up being engaged in by government and by the minister.
You've already rejected that. I'm asking about the issue of succession planning.
I'm reiterating it, that I'm rejecting it, because it's been echoed around the studio there and around the country, and it's singularly not true. The minister has said that he has provided money next year
There's
for
a break
successor,
in the service now.
For a successor.
There's a break in the service.
For a successor project. There was never a blanket court reporting on every court case, as I have said. So the minister and the department have given a clear indication of what they're going to do over the next number of weeks and months, and the service will be up and running in January of next year.
Okay, we have to leave that out of there. We will be looking at issues around the election coming up after this.
Saturday with Conor Mungon on RTE Radio 1.